Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
All right, let's do it. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word that feeds us, God. We probably have eaten a regular kind of food today, and tonight we're going to feed on your word, and it's more necessary for us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is going to bring a quickening or make your word to come alive to us. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, last week I told a couple of cannibal jokes and blamed it on my wife for saying it was okay. This time I'll take the full blame myself, but I do have one final cannibal joke. So here it is. Two cannibals met one day, and the first says to the other, you know, I just can't seem to get a tender missionary. I've baked them, I've roasted them, I've stewed them, I've barbecued them, I've even tried every sort of marinade. You know, I just can't seem to get them tender. And the second cannibal says, well, what kind of missionary do you use? And the other replies, well, you know, the ones that hang out at that place at the bend of the river, they have those brown cloaks with a rope around the waist and sort of bald on top with a funny ring of hair on their heads. Aha, he says, no wonder, those are friars. Friars. Not barbecuers. Not bakers. Friars. Okay, so this is the third lesson in our series, God's Benefit Package. Next week, we are going to have our praise and worship and prayer service, and then we'll finish the series the week after next, because next week we are doing praise and worship because of people that are going to be out of town the next weekend. So anyway, next week come. But then remember, the following week will be lesson number 4. The first lesson, we talked about God's forgiveness, and it really is where everything starts in our life with God, isn't it? We receive him, we know, and we learn that we're forgiven. We have to know we're forgiven. And for believers, it's important to know that we're forgiven, because otherwise, if we don't have this understanding in our hearts and lives, we'll be hesitant to come to him for all the other needs that we have. And so we have to know we're forgiven. If you weren't here in lesson number 1, I do have several of those out on the table, and you can pick one of those up at the end. Last week, we talked about the benefit of healing. Thank God he wants us healed. And his healing is all-inclusive. In other words, we can believe whatever it is we face physically in our lives, or emotionally for that matter, we can trust on him for healing the flow. There are three weapons we can use against sickness. Those are his stripes, his name, and his word. I just put an example of how you can pray for healing, either for yourself or someone else, in your notes, and you could just use that. And my purpose in doing that is, it isn't just the right wording. It isn't having everything just right, dialed in just right, and then you can be healed. The real issue is us just trusting that he is our healer. And as we do, we cry out to him, and we can know that he hears and is going to bring the answer. So continue to believe. We're going to continue to believe, aren't we? Trust him for it. So tonight we're looking at the third benefit listed in Psalm 103, and we are promised God's protection. Psalm 103, and if Jason is back there, if you could put the monitor up in front of me, that'd be great. If not, then that's okay. I can always look stage left. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Say, all his benefits. who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. One of the great promises God offers us is the promise of his protection. And we're going to look at various scriptures that speak of God's protection. And we need to know these are, they're not just general promises that are out there. They are personal benefits that we need to claim. Right? So I've Psalm 91, verse 1 through 7. You have the whole thing written there in your notes. When I was putting my PowerPoint together, I somehow didn't get verses 1 through 4. So if you're viewing online, it is Psalm 91, verse 1 through 7, but only 5 through 7 is going to be on your screen. So anyway, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely, say surely, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. And say, I receive it in Jesus' name. Psalm 91 is one of the most important references of God's protection in the Bible. And I really want to encourage us to read the entire psalm, maybe when you get home tonight or maybe tomorrow. It is just rich. And this psalm, Psalm 91, has been a real source of personal encouragement to me and actually to my family over the years. I was thinking, when we first moved to Malawi as missionaries, one night, just right out in front of the house where we were staying, an African pastor drove up his little rickety pickup truck in front of the house, and he spotted a large Mozambican cobra. And so he just ran over it with his truck, backed up, ran over it, backed up, you know, went and killed it, graveyard dead. And so and then he picked it up, and this thing was a good, 4 to 5 feet long. And obviously, a cobra, it was very poisonous. And my daughter at that time, she's probably at that time, I think, 15, and she is absolutely terrified. I mean, I don't think we'd been in the country more than just several days. My son and I came first, and she and her mom came in a couple of weeks later. She had just gotten there, and so this is one of her first introductions to life in Africa, this guy holding up this big Mozambican cobra. And so Laura's always been a little nervy about stuff like that, which, you know, a lot of us are. When we were in Kenya, and we would get up next to elephants in the wild or Cape Buffalo or something, Laura's favorite phrase was, okay, let's go. Okay, let's go. So this really freaked her out. She prayed. She went into her room. She prayed about it. And then she had been given a bunch of cards from a youth group in Alabama, and she was going through those. And this is so classic of how good God is. One of the leaders of that youth group had written a personal note to Laura and said this, and Laura's reading this, just after this had happened. Don't forget, Laura, God has given you Psalm 91 as a promise. And so Laura turned in her Bible to Psalm 91, And then she began to cry as she began to read it because it encouraged her. But especially when she got to verse 13, and I don't have this in your notes, but it says, "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." And she just began to praise God because she knew God was, I mean, it was right. It was a word right for her, right? "You shall trample underfoot," or "under truck," whichever. Psalm 91 has kept many a person safe during all kinds of danger and war. It's noted that a commander in the Vietnam War made his troops quote Psalm 91 every day. Whether they liked it or not, he was their commander. He commanded them to quote Psalm 91 every day. And listen, his company didn't have one casualty. Pretty crazy, huh? There's also a similar testimony about a group of soldiers in World War II from a very small town in Texas called Seadrift, Texas. Every day, the women of Seadrift prayed Psalm 91 over those men, and as a result, everyone from that hometown got home safe. And I was thinking, you know, we ought to be praying this way about our military here in the States and overseas. You know, we ought to just claim it over them, right? And over ourselves. One more, yeah, our family. Psalm 91, another story. This is, I've had this illustration for eons. It's called "Where the Bullet Stopped." A lieutenant in the United States Army on some far-off battlefield and his buddy were sent out on an important mission. When the enemy discovered them, the lieutenant faced them, saying to himself, "Well, Lord, it's your responsibility now." As he reached for his rifle, a shot from one of them struck him in the chest and blasted him down. Thinking he was dead, his buddy grabbed his gun and blasted away with both guns. He received 3 bullet wounds, and when he finished, not one of the enemy was left. The lieutenant wrote his sister in Pennsylvania, "He was amazed when I rolled over and I tried to get up. The force of that bullet had only stunned me. Dazedly and wondering why, I pulled my Bible out of my pocket and in utter muteness looked at the ugly hole in the cover. It had ripped through Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, kept going on, and where do you think it stopped? In the middle of Psalm 91, pointing like a finger at verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." It's pretty cool, isn't it? We have such powerful promises in God's word concerning our protection. Psalm 121, verse 1 through 8 says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." Another Malawi story, or actually Africa, because it happened in both Kenya. We lived in Kenya and then Malawi. I had 4 or maybe 5 mob scenes where I came up on mobs and they were angry. It wasn't because of me being a preacher or anything. I just was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Usually it was political stuff going on or youth marches and stuff like, but the crowd getting angry. And so anyway, I depended on God's protection and he got me through every one. I mean, a couple of them were really intense, like real intense. I remembered when Jesus was grabbed by the mob to throw him off a cliff, and other times where they were going to take him and kill him. And it would say in the Bible something like, "And Jesus made his way through the midst." That became one of my favorite verses in the Bible during those days. Making my way through the midst. God's our protector, isn't he? This is a benefit so important for us to claim, because there are times all of us feel vulnerable. Anybody besides me ever feel vulnerable? There's an obscure portion of scripture in Exodus chapter 22, verse 22 through 24. I just read this in my devotional reading yesterday, day before yesterday. It says, "You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any ways," now this is God speaking, "and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will become hot. I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless." Somebody say, yikes. There was a reason God was so protective of the fatherless and widows, and it's because they were defenseless. They were completely at the mercy of the society they lived in at that time. They were weak, they were vulnerable, and they were really easy to be taken advantage of. And God is making this statement because he's letting people know he's our protector. He's a defender of the defenseless. And again, all of us have times where we feel weak and vulnerable, hurt. And one of the truths about God that we need to remember is that he doesn't despise our weakness. Aren't you glad for that? When we feel distressed or overwhelmed and not able to deal with our problems and dilemmas, he is there. When we feel weak and vulnerable, we can always know that he is there, and not just kind of there, but he is very present there. And we're going to talk about this in just a little bit. When we feel defenseless, he's our defender. I like that, don't you? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36, it says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." I love that. Oftentimes, when we feel harassed and helpless, we also kind of feel humiliated that we feel that way. And I don't know about you, but it's embarrassing to feel so needy or to be so needy. I like to give the impression that I'm confident, that I'm secure, that I'm strong. We just don't like other people seeing our vulnerability. I was thinking about it. There was a time when I was associate pastor up in a large church in Colorado Springs. After a morning prayer meeting during the winter one time, I got finished with prayer, and so I'm walking out, and we were meeting in we owned a triplex theater, and it had the big glass windows in the front. And so I stepped out, and all the men that had come for that prayer meeting were standing in the foyer area there, but they were kind of looking out the window, and I got out the window, said hey to him, and was walking out of the window and got on the sidewalk, kind of walking, kind of trying to be, like cool, And then I hit a patch of ice, and I zip, bang, and I wham, went down, and this big guy in our church, John Moss, comes running out, Pastor, are you? And he, picks me up, puts me back on my feet, huge guy. It was a monster. "Are you okay?" And I said, yeah, I'm all right. I just kind of bruised my ego, that kind of thing. We don't like to appear weak. But I want to read Matthew 9:35 again. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. And God's response to that is, I want to help them out because he's compassionate. When we feel harassed, when we feel helpless, when we feel vulnerable, we have to know that we can come to him. We need to come to him. He, not only that, he wants us to come to him. The Greek word for moved with compassion, it's actually a Greek word, but we would say in English, moved with compassion. It expresses the involuntary gasp wrenched from a man overwhelmed by great sorrow or of a woman's groans in labor. In other words, it's more than just a sympathetic feeling. When it says Jesus was moved with compassion, this is more than It's a much more forceful term than that. It's like somebody taking a punch in the stomach. And any parent here knows what it's like when our kids got hurt, how we felt. When our kids got hurt, it moves us, you know, right? Yeah. Most of us, it moves us, you know. No, it does. It moves us when our kids are hurt, we hurt. I was playing with Laura before when she was real young. She was like 9 at this time, and I was playing with her and Dan down in the basement of our house in Colorado Springs, and we had it was a shag carpet down, but it didn't have any carpet the padding. Yeah, it was just rug on concrete. So I'm on my back and doing that launch thing, you know, where they sit on your feet and launching them up in the air. Well, you know, I got pretty long legs, and I gave Laura a launch, and it was a little too much. So she went weird, quonky, and came down on her elbow and smacked her elbow, and she cried, and, you know, I hugged her and everything. But I'm just, Laura, if you're viewing this online, I'm sorry. But anyway, she could cry a lot, you know, when she got hurt. And so I knew that she was hurt and all, but, you know, she kept it up. We were supposed to go over to a couple's house in the church that night for dinner, but she kept crying. And so, you know, it went on longer than what she normally would, which she, never mind. Anyway, it went, and so finally decided, we need to take her to the hospital and have this elbow an arm x-rayed, and sure enough, I'd broken her arm. Yeah, I felt so horrible. When I was checking Laura in at the hospital, I explained what happened to her, you know, and the woman that was checking us in at the counter there said, you know, my dad did the same thing to me when I was a little girl. And it made me feel a little bit better. Then the orthopedic surgeon, after she, you know, she didn't have to have anything done except a cast. You know, it was close to the growth plate, so they were going to keep an eye on that. But anyway, the orthopedic surgeon told us that night that he had just been playing with his little baby and broke his collarbone. Yeah, I called CPS, Child Protective. No, I didn't. But a parent knows what it feels like, you know, that. And God is our Father, isn't he? And so we need to know. See, we think of God as high and lifted up. He is all of that. He is magnificent and all. But he's a father and has all the feelings of a father about us. See, and it's not just, you know, the world at large. We need to know that he feels about this toward us, toward you, toward me, when we are weak, hurting, vulnerable. He is our defender. He isn't repulsed by our weaknesses or and like, oh, just get away from me. It moves him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Other versions read, "He sympathizes with our weaknesses." The Message Bible, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 reads this way, "We do not have a high priest who is out of touch with our reality." Aren't you glad for that? Amen. "He has been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help." Amen. Wonderful. He's wonderful. He's our defender when we feel defenseless. So I want to look at living under the benefit of God's protection. And there are three specific areas that I'm going to just touch on, the first two quickly, and then deal with the last one a little more in depth. And the first two we talked about last week in healing, but they're also true, and we need to know these about God's protection. So first of all, we find protection through God's name. Proverbs 18, verse 10, I love this verse. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." Wonderful. When we feel vulnerable, what do? When we feel harassed and under attack, we can run in to his name, and it's a safe place for us. One of my most told stories was riding with Larry Huck, another young convert. Both of us later became preachers, but as young believers, we were driving from Flagstaff to Prescott during the winter, hit a black ice on an icy bridge, and we're getting ready to go over the side, and both of us cried out the same prayer at the same time, "Jesus," and that van stopped sliding, righted itself, we got across on the other side, and then we had a hallelujah breakdown. Name of the Lord is a strong tower. One of the strongest prayers you can ever pray is Jesus. God's name is a source of protection. In biblical times, a name represented certain characteristics or traits. I talked at length about the name of Jesus last week, and so I want to look at some of the other names of God from the Bible, and these names represent who he is. And so I've got some of these in your notes, and you'll see them if you're looking online, some of these on the screen. This isn't a comprehensive list. It's not. There's so many names of God that are listed in the Bible, and all of them speak to who he is to us. These are not just things he does. This is who he is. Okay? And so just a quick run through. Jehovah Jireh, he's the Lord our provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. And so we don't, banner. It's in the midst of a battle where there was a weak place or where they were getting beat up by the enemy. They'd pull up the banner and then the forces would concentrate on that area. God is our banner. When we are under attack. Jehovah Im Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies, or he sets us aside for himself. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Somebody say, God's my peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. And Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. All of these names represent who God is. He's our provider, our healer, our banner, sanctification, peace, righteousness, shepherd, the Lord who's there. I like that. I really love that name, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who's there. Where? Wherever we are, He is. He's the Lord who's there. Where? Wherever we are, He is. And Proverbs 18:10, again, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. So we can find shelter and protection in Him, in His name, the name of the Lord. Psalms 91 and verse 14 in the New Living Testament says, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. So I want you to tell yourself, I trust in his name. All right, secondly, we can find protection through God's word. This is so important. I'm going to just touch on this, but it's not to minimize it. We talked about God's word last week. If you didn't get the notes, get them. It'd be good. But Ephesians 6, verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. One of the great reasons why believers feel at times or a lot of the time so weak and so vulnerable can be because they have neglected a consistency of being in the Word of God. We will not feel strong and protected without spending time in God's Word. It's so important. It's critical that we get into the Word of God. And thank God you guys are here on a Wednesday night. You're here because you understand the importance of the Word of God and getting it in you. But I want to encourage you, too, that Sunday service and Wednesday service, they are really good. You get a good dose of the Word of God. But you yourself need to mine truths out in the Word of God. Get in and read. Listen, even reading a chapter. See, we talk about how busy we are. Busy, man. I'm busy. We are too busy if we're too busy to get into God's Word. It's just the truth. Even if you spent one chapter pouring over in the morning or sometime during the day and letting that get into you and thinking about it, meditating on it, will be helpful to you. I'm gonna use a dirty word here. It's the D word. Not that D word. Discipline. That's the dirty word. Discipline. We can't overemphasize the importance of discipline in God's word. So important. It's not really a dirty word, is it? Just one that people in churches sometimes go, oh. Discipline. We need to be disciplined. It's not, and what I'm talking about is not just a works trip of, don't bind yourself under an oath to read, all right, I'm going to read 10 chapters every day. I didn't bind myself under an oath, but I heard about a pastor that I really respected early in my ministry that I heard that he read 10 chapters in the Bible every day. And so I thought, well, this guy's got it together, and I need to get it together. So I started reading. I made it a point. I did this for a long time, 10 chapters. But, you know, I found myself after a good period of time, just trying to get through it, you know, that putting my time in and going on. And so don't just do it out of a duty or out of just discipline, but make it a habit. And to fall in love with the Word of God and let it get down deep inside. Say, I think I'll do that. There you go. Psalm 119, verse 49 and 50. Very important. Remember the Word. This psalmist is calling attention. Remember the Word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your word has given me life. See, there's two important things here. God's word gives hope. If there's ever a time that we needed hope, it's in the time we live in. We live in times where people are losing hope. We need hope, a confident expectation of good from God. And if your hopes feel kind of dwindling, get into the Word of God. His Word will cause us to hope. It's life to us. His Word is life. Say, it's life. That's pretty weak, but that's all right. I understand. It's 7, and we're getting kind of, it's all days almost over and all that. I got it. You're all right. Finally, I shouldn't say finally. Never say in closing. As a preacher, should never. Exactly. In closing, because we go on. So I got some time left. Just you look at me and say, you got some time left. Just say, we could stay here all night. I got some of you. I'm not going to say that. We're not going to stay here all night. Unless, never mind. All right, C. We find protection through God's presence. And these truths are things that a lot of us know, but we need to be reminded of. They're so important. Something we have to understand about God is that He is omnipresent. It literally means He is all present, or His presence is present. Say that. His presence is present. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2 says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. So look at this. In Psalm 91, verse 1, it says His presence is over us, right? Under the shadow. If we're under the shadow of the Almighty, that means that He is over everything that involves us, right? We dwell under His shadow. He's over everything. All right, then Isaiah 52, verse 12 says, For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, but the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel shall be your rear guard. Isaiah 52, 12 says God's presence is behind us. You know what that means? He's got your back. Isn't that good? He's over us. He's behind us. And then Psalm 125, verse 1 and 2 says, Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. So Psalm 125 says God's presence surrounds us or encircles us. And so this is so true throughout the Word of God. God gives us a picture of His presence being everywhere present. His presence is over us. It's behind us. It encircles us. His presence is present. So we may know this in our minds or theologically, you know, God's everywhere presence, God's present presence. But where this really comes through that we really know it is when we're in crisis. And so what can happen is if when we're in crisis, we begin to wonder, God, where are you and all of that. I was in a time where I was in the biggest crisis of my life years ago in Malawi. Things were unfolding, and I remember I went out. We had a garden, a vegetable garden. I went and stood in the middle of that garden, and I am crushed. I'm vulnerable. I am nervous. Things are happening. I'm feeling assaulted and attacked. Went into the garden, and I started praying. And you know what? That overwhelming presence of God and that surrounding presence. I sensed the Lord's presence coming. And I'm telling you, this was crisis. And I sensed God's presence coming around, And I told the Lord, I remember the words. I said, as long as I have you, I'll be okay. And I was. Listen, as long as you have him, you'll be okay. His presence is present. And so we, if when we're in crisis or in trouble, difficulties, assaulted, attacked, we need to do what the psalmists did and the ones in these scriptures. We need to trust him, put our trust in him over our natural inclination to panic. How many know we can be pretty good at panicking or throwing out things like, and panic. I panicked before. I know this is a shocking admission to you, but even as a pastor, there have been times that I have panicked. Not today. Well, maybe sometimes. No. But all of us know what it is to be in crisis, difficulties, and trouble. In those times, we need to be aware of him. This is what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. These are two of my favorite verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. One of the great life lessons God has given me was in these verses right here. At a time where I was harassed and my mind was under assault, I remembered these verses, and right there in that time, I said, okay, God, I recognize you are here. I'm harassed, I'm attacked, my mind's assaulted, but I recognize you are here. And you know what happened? As I began to call attention to his present presence, that tension began to lift. And we need to continually remind ourselves that his presence is present. Amen. Keep it going. If that tension, the stress and worry and all that doesn't immediately let up, keep on. Keep on keeping on. Acknowledge, Lord, you are here. I know my mind is wondering where you are, but your word says you are here, and I believe it. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. That's a good verse right there. Amen. Whenever I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. David is making a decision. In Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14, now I'm going to do what I said I wouldn't do. We're going to wrap this up here in just a minute. Psalm 27, 13, and 14, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God or the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so this psalmist has made the decision to trust in God's presence and to wait on him. This waiting, most of you know, it's not a waiting or out of frustration. All right, God, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. What it is it is a conscious and determined focusing of our attention on the present presence of the Lord. God, I wait on you. I acknowledge that you're here. I will trust in you. I believe in your present presence. I may not understand what's happening in my life right now. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I believe you are here with me now, and I acknowledge your presence. I trust you are with me, and as long as you are with me, I'll be okay. Right? Praise God. We believe it. Say, I believe it. Let's pray and just seal this tonight. Would you bow your heads and just repeat this with me? And you as well online. Jesus, thank you for your watchfulness and your protection over my life. When I feel vulnerable or afraid, I will come to you I will trust in you. Thank you for your present presence with me always. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap and seal it with a praise. Lord, thank you for it. You're so good to us. He's a good God. He's our protector. We can count on him. He's there. He's here. He's everywhere. He's over us, behind us, surrounding us. And so go with God. Not going to ask him to go with us because he's going with us. We pray, God, please go. He's going. When we're gone, he's gone. He's not, he doesn't, well, I don't know. Anyway, I don't think he doesn't hang out in an empty building. Sometimes I walk in this church and all by myself and can feel kind of creepy all by myself. You know, the more of us, the better. He comes with us. He's with us. Should just strike that last couple of sentences. Just forget about that. God bless you guys. Time to go, isn't it? So quit. Somebody tell me, quit while you're ahead. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.